I have a tendency to like illustrations. So this is what this is. It's like an illustration to kind of give a symbolism of what I'm going to be talking about. And the title of my sermon is called A Character Fit for Heaven. Frank says I should be able to do the sermon without reading it. But my nerves don't really allow that. Because then I forget what I wanted to say. So, does everybody have one? All right. Good enough. Okay. Character fit for heaven. There we go. Right. Springtime symbolizes new life, new beginnings, and new birth. After winter comes spring and new life. The flowers and the plants spring up out of the ground, and the trees put on new leaves, and the fruit trees burst into bloom, getting ready to produce fruit. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created." In Genesis 1:27, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, "And God saw everything that he had created, and behold, it was very good." Then in Genesis 2:8, says, the Bible says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." When God was done, there was a garden more beautiful than any garden we have ever seen. And it was for Adam and Eve to live in and to take care of. And even more important, it was a place that they could walk and talk with him. It provided everything they would ever need for their food and for their souls. You see, when I think of a garden, I think of springtime with its new life, beautiful flowers, butterflies, bees, and I think of getting on my knees and pulling out those unwanted weeds. I don't suppose many of you have done that. Ah, yes, we always have those unwanted weeds in our garden, don't we? And then I think of harvest time. And we get to gather the bounty of the produce that we have grown or picked beautiful flowers to make vases. Well, so many people today, they live in these cement cities that is dead and lifeless. And they wonder what that unfulfilled longing is that they have deep inside. And I believe they are longing for a garden where they can meet and talk with God, just like Adam and Eve did. But as we all know what happened, don't we? Satan invaded the garden, and sin entered the world, and our connection to God was damaged. God did not break that connection. Our ancestors did, and we continue to do so daily. And because of sin, we are a damaged people. Not only has our physical health deteriorated, but our spiritual being is unfulfilled and diminished. Although God in his wisdom and mercy is allowing sin to play itself out to the bitter end so that mankind and all of the watching worlds can see the consequences of sin, he has provided us with a Savior who can reconnect us to God, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. We all know the story, how Jesus came to this world as a babe. He preached and healed the sick as a young man, and he died an agonizing death on the cross in the prime of his life, so that we may have eternal life with him, forever free of sin and all that it has brought to the world, free from the pain, misery, sorrow, tears, poor health, depression, abuse, and death. I know that just like me, you are longing for the time to come when sin will be no more, and when we can be taken to heaven to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years before the New Jerusalem is brought down to this earth where we will live with God forever. Unfortunately, sin has damaged our character so badly that although we long to live in a perfect world, we would be miserable in such a world. Because of our damaged character, we would snap and snarl and we would be thinking, me, me, me. I want, I think, I need. We have made ourselves into our own little gods. I. But it is important for us to know I did not the earth make. I did not the animals design. I did not the heavens fill. I did not the universe create. I am not the great I am. I marvel at the animals, the delicate flowers and the awesome trees, the intricate design of man, the beauty of earth's landscapes. I marvel at the majestic universe in which I live and know that I am not the great I am. We need to get back to our roots, back to the garden. It does not matter how small or how big that garden is. It might be an acre lot, a farm, or it might just be a little flower box. The point is that we need to reconnect to God through the beauty and bounty of His creation. Okay, open up the little bags that you have in your hands and take out those rocks. Take a good look at that rock that you have. How does it feel? Feels kind of dirty, feels pretty rough, pretty ragged and jagged, flaws. Well, a truly awesome thing happens when we meet Jesus and invite Him into our heart. You see, we come to Him with our hearts and character looking like this rock. We come to Him with dirty, rough, jagged, cold, and hard heart. And as you can see by looking at this rock, we are unfit for heaven. But when we invite Jesus into our heart, He comes in and He cleans out the old, dirty, dusty secrets in our minds and hearts. He throws out the bouquets of weeds and thorns that we have gathered and put on the table, and then He puts out lovely vases of the pinks and the lilies and the fragrant roses. He sands the rough places. He cuts out the bad and the rotten spots. He removes the jagged areas, and He heals the broken and cracked places. And He polishes our heart and they are till they are smooth and perfectly reflect the character of God. Not yet. This is what your heart can look like. You see the jagged rock. You see the polished, smooth rocks. We have not been left on our own to stumble around trying to perfect our character, nor are we left in the dark about what our character needs to look like. Let's look in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Who's doing this? God. God says He will do this. God plants his seed of love in the garden of our hearts, where he then nurtures it and nourishes it, pulling out the weeds that try to choke and suffocate it. Have you ever tried to pull a weed out of a hard ground? And you pull, and you pull, and you dig. It's painful. That's what God has to do to us sometimes. And it's not always easy, because sometimes we hang on to those roots. We need to soften our heart. We need to give it to God. There are many aspects of our character that are flowers or weeds, but because of sin, most of us have a lot of character weeds that God must cut out, sand off, or in some other way, remove. One of the character roots that grow in our garden is unforgiveness, and its boon companion, bitterness. Unforgiveness toward a family member can hurt us the deepest, because they are with us the most and they know us the best. For those very reasons, our unforgiveness toward them can bring the greatest devastation to our lives. That is why unforgiveness must start at home. As we begin to understand the depth of God's forgiveness toward us, it will generate the ability and the desire to forgive our family and others. Neil Anderson wrote, "Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin." Did you get that? And then he goes on to explain that that's exactly what Jesus did. He took upon himself the consequences of my sin, of your sin, of the whole world's sin. And his body was beaten and tortured, and in his soul he agonized and suffered and sweat drops of blood, because it meant that when he died, he would be separated from his heavenly Father. Because of my sin, because of your sin, he died on the cross. Before he ever left heaven, he looked down the angels' ages and he saw you. Yes, you. And he said, "If you were the only sinner, I would die to save you." But understand this. It is very important. Jesus did not wait for us to ask for forgiveness. Instead, he gave it freely with no strings attached. As he hung on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We who have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior have been forgiven a very large debt. Therefore, we should not be harboring or unforgiveness or bitterness toward others. Let's look at Ephesians 4:32. Doesn't have a 32. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. No wonder it doesn't. It helps to get in the right book, and then you can find what you're looking for. Okay. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So he tells us right there, forgive others, be kind and tender toward them. Forgiveness is more for yourself than for others. When unforgiveness stays in the heart, we nurture it, and it grows, and it takes on a vicious life of its own. It poisons our character and turns us into the very person that we hate and will not forgive. It doesn't matter if the person is a family member, a co-worker, or someone from church. If you don't forgive, you get stuck where you are and shut off God's work in your life. Forgiveness opens your heart and mind and allows the Holy Spirit to work freely in you. Let's look at Matthew 5, See if I can do better. Matthew 5:44-45. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sin to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. But understanding this, forgiving somebody today doesn't mean you won't have to forgive them tomorrow. Let's look in Matthew 18. Verses 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother's sin against me? No, let me read that again. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 490 times. Wow. By the time you've counted to 490 times, I mean, you'd never get there, right? You're supposed to forgive your brother over and over and over again. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Forgiveness is not easy. And sometimes it feels downright impossible. That is why it is so important that we take our unforgiveness to God in prayer and ask Him to help us to forgive and to pray for those who hurt or offend us, that our heart may be full of God's love toward them. We do not want to become hard and bitter because we will not forgive. In Luke 6:37, it says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. When we forgive someone, it doesn't make them right or justify what they have done. It releases them into God's hands so that He can deal with them. Forgiveness is actually the best revenge, because it is not only sets us free from the person we forgive, but it frees our heart to receive what God wants to do for us. And when we forgive and pray for someone, it gives God the right to intercede in their life and to potentially draw them into a saving relationship with Him that they might not otherwise gain. Forgiveness is a choice, a decision. It's not a feeling. Obedience is something we do. Having a heart to obey is something we must pray and ask God to give us. If we are harboring unforgiveness and bitterness, it's always our fault for not choosing to let it go. Our forgiving someone doesn't depend on them admitting guilt or apologizing. If it did, most of us would never forgive anyone. Rather, it is our responsibility to confess it to God and ask Him to help us to forgive and move on with our lives. We must give our unforgiving spirit to God so that He can perform surgery on it and free us from this destructive characteristic that has been growing and thriving in our heart. The following poem explains the painful process, the refining of self. Self I am, but self must go. Self hangs on to broken pieces. Self is flawed, crooked, and rough. Self must let go of broken pieces. As wind and tempest smooth and carve, till self is no longer crooked and rough, but is smooth and soft and reflects not the self of old, but the face of Jesus who died for self. Now, we're going to pass around some more rocks. I do not want you to pick and choose. I want you to dig through the bags to get the color you want or the style you want. I just want you to take. It's important to understand that we do not get to choose what our heart will look like. God is the creator. And he's the one who recreates our heart. Go ahead and open your bag, take out your rock, and look at it. They all look different. They've all been through something else, something separate. Each heart of ours has a different set of circumstances that we go through. And that defines what our heart will look like when God polishes it. Some of us, I think, go through harder times than others. I don't think, I know. I remember my sister had really went through some really, really tough things, and I always wondered why. And I know that some of these rocks, and you look at them, you can see some of the grooves and the cracks and things. I think of my sister's heart as looking like that once it's polished because she went through so much. I picked out a rock without even looking, and I got a smoother rock. I know my life has been easier than my sister's life ever was. Okay, so, you know, like we said, God is our creator, and only he can recreate in us a new heart and a new character that is fit for heaven. Our old heart would not be happy in heaven. But once God has refined and repolished and recreated our heart, we can have a character fit for heaven. The Bible tells us in Psalms 44:21 that God knows the secrets of your heart. It is our responsibility to ask God to reveal any character flaw or secret of our heart that we need to submit to his will. And it is God's job and responsibility to fix that flaw. That's very important that you catch those two. What is your responsibility? Submit. What is God's responsibility? To fix. He's the one who fixes our hearts. He's the one who recreates in us. He is our creator. We are not the creator. He's the one who fixes our heart. And we need to remember that. I think a lot of times what happens is we try to fix ourselves and we can't. So let us review. What is a character fit for heaven and how do I get one? We cannot buy or sell it. We cannot earn it through good works. We cannot inherit it. We can only gain it by submitting to God, trusting in him to perfect the character flowers of our heart, and throwing out the weeds so that we can have a character fit for heaven. The works of the flesh are the weeds in the garden of our heart, and some of these weeds are listed in Galatians 5:19-21. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We can trust God to dig out and throw away the character weeds in our heart. The fruits of the Spirit are the flowers in the garden of our heart, and some of these are listed in Galatians 22:23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we can trust God to plant and perfect the character flowers in our heart. We need to delve deep into the precious Word of God, and He will guide us into all the truth. I don't know about you, but I want God to purify and perfect my heart and character. I pray that each character that I have will become a beautiful flower in the garden of my heart, reflecting the beauty of God. My character is the only thing that I will be taking from this earth to heaven. It is my desire that it be the best possible character that God can recreate. So let's make Psalms 51 our daily prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do you have a character fit for heaven? Okay. Now it's time for our closing song.